Babes, welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mootsy. We've got a full house today. BJ Armstrong and Scott Perry are with us for another episode. How you doing, fellas?
The great Scott Perry. The great Scott Perry.
Well, BJ, I think the people all want to know. Scott, did you win your golf tournament?
Unfortunately, our team lost the Ryder Cup. The group that we were in, it was a two-day event. It was very close, but we lost as a team. And I tell you, it was a great experience for me. First time I've ever played any type of real competitive golf like that, any type of tournament. Different playing, but I had some very good shots during the weekend. I can tell you that, Mo. Okay. And that's some other, my biggest struggle yesterday in the individual competition. Had a few drives that went OB, but I was driving it a long way all weekend, so okay. I like that. But
what was the scorecard looking like? What was the scorecard looking like?
Well, you know, in Ryder Cup, you keep a total of points.
I don't know. I've never watched a Ryder Cup.
Oh, you never watched Ryder Cup? Yeah. So it's really, you know, it's a lot of team.
Should I tell you my experience with golf?
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know? Are you familiar with Top Golf?
Top Golf.
They got it in Vegas, right? They got one in London. Yeah. It's so on. That's my experience with golf. And then Crazy Golf, Mini Golf. And then PGA 2K23 on PlayStation, also made by the kind sponsors of our show. I play golf on there. But I've never been out to a... Well, actually, that's a lie. I did once go to a golf course. And okay. I paid for a round of golf and playing, and I'm kind of crap. And then the I guess, caretaker came to kick us off. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, your type don't belong around here. And I said, whoa.
Oh.
You're going to say this to me while I got a golf club in my hand? Let's be serious for a second. So I didn't feel welcomed by the golf community, you know, on account of my skin color. So hopefully the next time I go, maybe I need to come to America and play with you guys, because around here I was not welcomed in. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I would love... That's one of my bucket list things to do, is to go over there and play. I know it's not in your backyard in London, but it's close, like to go to St. Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Where they played the Open. Yeah. I would love to do that, you know, one day, just to play that Lynx golf over there. And, you know, so one day.
BJ, what about you? Handy on the golf course?
Hey, I can get around.
You got the polo on. I see you.
I can get around. Hey, Mo. When I was a young man, Mo, you know, I tried a lot of different things. And golf was one of the things I tried.
maybe I'm trying the wrong things, huh?
Hey, we all prioritize, you know, what we're good at.
Well, before this goes in any other direction, let's prioritize talking about the NBA, because Tyus Jones, probably the free agent I was looking at, wondering why no one signed him, given how reliable he is. I believe that he has the best assist to turnover ratio in NBA history. Point guard who's ahead of all, he could shoot it. He shot 41% from three last year, averaged 7 assists and 12 points a game. And he wasn't signed by anyone up until yesterday, where he agreed a one-year, $3.3 million deal with the Phoenix Suns. And he's the perfect kind of point guard they need, because we talked all the time about being the Phoenix Suns' biggest deficiency is that point guard spot. He's going to open up the floor for the other guys to operate and do their thing. And he's taking a bet on himself so that next summer he can get a better contract, right? But so many people were confused by this move that he had to release a statement to ESPN, which said, the chance to play for the Phoenix Suns made the most sense on a lot of levels with me and my family, beginning with the way that Matt Ishbia and the front office recruited me, to how Coach Budenholzer showed me I can make a significant impact on a team that has a real opportunity to challenge for an NBA title as their starting point guard. And then so on and so forth. He says that he had multiple free agent offers and sign and trade proposals, but he wanted to be in Phoenix. But the big takeaway from that is he will be starting for the Suns. So the Suns are going to run with Tyus Jones, Beal, Booker, Durant, and Nurkic. What's your take on the Suns now after this move, which obviously helps them, but they are awfully small now?
I like the deal for the Suns, for and you mentioned all the stats around him, but the guy's a true professional. They're already gonna be, you know, they have a payroll that's is in excess of $400 million. We know, which is crazy. So they had very limited options of, you know, what they could do. So to get this quality of player, given their constraint, you know, their financial constraints, so 1 year deal, he can start at the position, and he's one of those point guards that's going to be efficient and steady, like you said, because his shooting percentages were excellent last year, 41 from three, 49 from the field. Look, let's face it, the majority of the shots are coming from three places: Durant, Booker, and Bradley Beal. So perfect fit in that way for for Phoenix, you know, given what was on the market, given what their, you know, again, financial capability was. And for him, look, he's getting out, you know, getting away from the worst teams in the league last year in the Washington Wizards. I think they were just one game better than the Pistons last year with 15 wins. He's going to get a chance to showcase his ability as a starter with a team that will be, you know, very competitive and should make the playoffs next year and or this coming season. So he's betting on himself so that he can get a bigger deal next summer. So I like it both ways around. Does it make them a favorite in the Western Conference? I'm not going to go that far and say that. But I do think, and we've talked about it on this show a number of times, this team struggled with not having a floor general in terms of, and somebody who's used to playing that point guard position. They tried to mimic it with Bradley Beal at times and with Devin Booker at times. And I think it took away from both of their games when they had to do that. So this should be very helpful. I believe they also have Monte Morris on the roster too, who can back up at that position. So now a position that was a severe weakness last year is at least solid now. Again, it's not all-star. Again, you mentioned it's small. I'm not crazy about that, but it's definitely an upgrade from where they were last year and should improve this team for this season.
Now, Bradley Beal is making, what, $50 million this season? But BJ Armstrong, I propose to you this. Do you not think that Bradley Beal should really be coming off the bench for this Phoenix Suns team just to give them kind of better versatility and whatnot? Would you rather have him come off the bench if you're going to start with Tyus Jones?
You know, I'm going to take the approach that is currently now in the NBA. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but I'm just going to follow the money. I don't understand how you're going to bring a max player. What is he? He's a super max, right?
Bradley Beal. Yeah.
Bradley Beal.
Super max with a no trade clause.
Yep.
Help me understand. Like, this is a new league. I'm trying to understand it. If you're telling me you're going to give a super max player off the bench.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no
behind a player who is making a minimum, correct?
Yes.
$3.3 million is what this kid is going to make.
You guys feel free to help me understand. Now, everyone, we say the analytics, we play small ball, we play five out, we do all of these things. I just want to learn how this works, right? Every time I want to say, okay, that's how it's going, then we move the goalposts again. So yes. Cool. Explain to me how it works. And if you say that's how it works, then so be it. Like,
well, there's only one basketball. And, you know, if you have Tyus Jones as your point guard and then Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, All of them need the ball in their hands to be effective. And then you've got Yusuf Nurkic, who likes to get a few touches on the post. Whereas if you took Bradley Beal out of that starting lineup and you replaced him with maybe Grayson Allen, you get better defense. You get a player who doesn't need the ball. He's an outlet valve for when the defense collapses around Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And I believe that overall, you would get a better style of play with not necessarily a better talented roster on the floor, but maybe the style of play would be better. And then that enhances your bench unit. Worst case scenario, Bradley Beal gets so upset about coming off the bench that he waives his no trade clause and you can get out of that horrible contract paying him $50 million.
Well, the reality of this thing is there is no way Bradley Beal is coming off the bench. Now, we can stop this now.
Yeah.
Contract, but still talent. See, a thing to watch, and we talked about this in regards to the Olympics team USA here. It's not necessarily who's starting, who's going to finish the game. And I would disagree with you a little bit on this, Mo. See, one of the reasons why Tyus Jones is appealing for this group, he's not one of those point guards that has to dominate the ball, in my opinion.
No.
You know, he's been a backup for the majority of his career. He's played with star players before. So, the fact that his shooting has improved so much, he can help space the floor. Now, yeah, I think where he's going to help him as a point guard when it's, you know, coming off dead ball situations, you know, out of timeout situations where they got to come and run a set and execute a set, then he'll have the ball in his hands to do that. But when you're getting off the glass, obviously if KD gets it off the glass, he can initiate the break. Beal, Booker, same thing. That's fine. And it's going to be in those half-court situations, those after-timeout situations, off of a free throw, opponent's free throw, those situations where they will utilize him, in my opinion, as their point guard to just kickstart the offense. It'll be great. You know, Grayson Allen played very well for the team last year, but now that gives him a boost coming off the bench. And maybe Grayson finishes some games, you know, to utilize the size.
Because their depth is better than last year. They've now got Monte Morris.
Yes, Monte Morris.
Coming off the bench. Royce O'Neal, Josh Okogie, Mason Plumlee as well. So their bench does look significantly stronger than last season.
Because, see, here's the other thing, too. When you talk about that whole idea of Bradley Beal off the bench, and you say, oh, man, he gets so mad that he'll want to request a trade. Guess what? If he can't start on that team, and now he would say he wants to be traded, what team's going to want to take on that salary? I'm putting my GM hat on now. I'm like, hold on a minute now. He's not even starting now? Is he declined that bad? No. So there's no way Bradley Beal.
Didn't they just sign Royce O'Neal to like 4 years or something?
Yeah, they re-signed Royce O'Neal this offseason too. Yeah.
Okay, well, all right. We'll see. I don't know.
This team that they have this year, basically, this is it in terms of, okay, how far or how deep can the Phoenix Suns go? It's going to be determined with this group here again.
Okay.
I don't see a top three Western Conference team now, but we'll see.
GM Scott Perry, what was the salary of Tyus Jones?
What did he sign for this summer just now?
His past year. What is he coming off there in Washington?
I can pull it up here real quick. Mo, you pulling it up for us? It was more than $3.3 million.
Yeah, it was $14.5.
Yeah.
That was so let me get this right. So let me get
in Memphis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he is coming off $14 million.
Yeah.
And after careful evaluation, right, according to the statement. Okay,
you said careful evaluation here. Yeah, exactly. What happened is he got out here on the free agent market, money dried up, and this was his best option of going to a winning team. He couldn't go back to the Wizards you know, pride would let him go back to the Wizards.
If you're the Wizards, this is what I'm not understanding is if you're the Wizards, right? Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to keep everything we've described about Tyus Jones, efficient, takes care of the basketball, good at passing, good at three-point shooting. Why would you not want to keep him on your roster as you try and develop these younger guys?
Personally, I've always believed to develop young guys, you need professionals around them to help them. You can't just have all young guys. Obviously, they've decided to do something different and put as many young players on the team and the floor as possible. They drafted a good young point guard, I think, who's got a chance to become a good player in the league, this kid, Bob Carrington from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But they're just, so I'm assuming they're just going to put the ball in his hands. And, the kid they drafted last year, how do you pronounce his name? Koulibaly?
Bilal Koulibaly.
Yeah, Koulibaly.
Yeah, I like him.
But they also traded for Malcolm Brogdon as well.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Malcolm Brogdon, though, I believe, to pick up an asset, though, right?
Yeah, because they've got his contract. Brogdon, Kyle Kuzma, who you can't imagine sticking around. Jordan Poole, if he can get any of his value back, maybe moved as well. And then they've got Jonas Valanciunas as well, who they signed.
Yeah, a good veteran big. So that's why, to your point, I would have thought about trying to keep Tyus Jones unless, Tyus Jones' asking price was too much, but because I don't know what it was, but all he got was $3.3 million on the open market.
Yeah, minimum salary.
They could have re-signed him there in Washington, to your point, if you're trying to win more games, if that's important to you. What this signals to me is they just want to play as many of the young guys as they can. And okay, if they win games with the young guys, great. If not, they want to get back in the lottery because everybody believes next year's draft is going to be this, special draft to improve their fortunes. But so we'll see. We'll see.
That brings me to my next question. Which three teams do you think will be the most improved for next season, whether it's jumping up in the regular season standings or whether it's advancing in the postseason? Obviously, Memphis, because of all of the injuries they endured this year, will not be repeating what they did. But which other teams spring to mind about the moves that
we're taking Memphis off the board, is what you're saying.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone who's unaware,
I had three teams per conference, Mo.
Okay. Oh, hit us with them.
I'm going to hit you with them. Okay. Yeah. Since we're talking about the Western Conference, I'm going to start at the top. The regular season champion, the OKC Thunder, they're going to get out. They're going to get past the conference semifinals this year.
Are they making it to the finals?
They're going to make it to the – at least – so that means they at least got to make it to the conference finals. So I'm putting it out there in the atmosphere, putting the pressure on there. They added the center that they believe they needed that's going to add some rebounding and another physical presence to them. They added the kid from Chicago – why am I drawing a blank on his name? The kid from Chicago. The defensive
Alex
guard.
Caruso.
I apologize.
It's hot out there on the golf course, Scott. I get it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, but Caruso, they added him. I believe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put himself into the running for MVP last year legitimately. And I'm going to say it here first. He's going to be my favorite to win the MVP next year. So all those things, Chet Holmgren, year older, better. This team is going to be poised to get beyond the conference semifinals in the tough Western Conference. So that's going to be one of my Western Conference finalists.
Mm-hmm.
The other team, Houston Rockets. They just missed the play-in last year. I like you know, young group that's going to make improvement. They finished the year very strong. Ime Udoka has done a terrific job as a coach, challenging that group down there, getting them to defend better. They were excellent at home last year, really struggled on the road for the first half of the season, but then started to get better. No way I see them not at least making the play-in this year. But I believe in the regular season, they'll be one of the top eight teams in the Western Conference.
Okay.
And then the third team from the West, because like I said, we're just assuming that Memphis is going to be improved when Ja comes back and Zach Edey.
Oh, yeah.
It's the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give San Antonio – Victor Wembanyama, to me, is one of these – you know, we've talked about the generational talent and all that. But what's impressing me most with him is he has some drive in him. And I don't, you know, he's not a player to me to subscribe and wants to go along with, oh, we're young and we're going to be bad for 3-4 years before we just can turn it on and be a playoff team. I believe in his mind, because he has high standards and high goals for himself, he will at least push this team into the play-in next year in the Western Conference. And they made some nice additions in the draft. I like the young kid, Stephon Castle, coming out of UConn. And so the other, you know, the players around them, I think they had the potential to get better. And, you got Devin Vassell still there, you know, solid player, will continue to grow as a professional. And so I like this. I like this team to
mm-hmm.
be so, in there.
So they won 22 play-in. Games last year. How many do you see them winning this year?
Whatever it takes to get into the play-in. So okay. It's probably in the 30s, 34, 35, maybe. That probably gets you in. What was the last
40, group? 46 got you in last year.
Yeah, 46 got them into the playoffs?
Warriors, yeah, 46 for the 10 seed. Yeah. But 50 got you, or the 49 got you the sixth seed automatically in the West.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, but I still see them somehow, you know, but they're going to put it this way. The question was, who's going to be better? They're not going to be sitting around 22 wins.
Yeah.
They're going to win. They're going to be in the 30s in terms of wins to me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
BJ, Western Conference, you agree with all those three? Or do you think that one of those teams won't live up to expectations?
I agree with two out of the three. The San Antonio Spurs, for all the obvious reasons, Victor Wembanyama in particular. And I like the fact that they have a true point guard, even though I don't expect him to play a lot. When I say play a lot, I don't expect him to play 82 games. But I think his
and Chris Paul.
Chris Paul will have influence. And I think he will have an influence on, all their young players, in particular their guards. Let's hear Stephon Castle has an opportunity to learn. I think that's the best way to learn. You learn from vets. So I thought that was a good move from them in that regard. So I think the Spurs will improve. I think the Houston Rockets will take another step. You know, Mo's guy, Sengun, will come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a high draft pick this year. Ime Udoka, I think they will improve. I think they have a chance to improve by 10 games or so, at least 5 games. So that puts them right in the thick of the race. If they go in 41 games last year, I think they can win 5 more games to that. Now they're right into the 10th spot or even higher. But here's another team that I think is going to make an improvement this year. And because they're playing right now, I think the Lakers are going to improve.
Oof.
I think the Lakers are going to improve. And the reason I'm saying that is because Anthony Davis is going to be in shape when he comes to camp. And I think this coaching change with J.J. Redick, I think they're going to get off to an early start. Now, I don't know what that means once the playoffs begins, but I know this, that they're going to give effort for this. They're going to give effort for JJ Redick. I firmly believe that. Now, whether or not JJ Redick, I don't know that. None of us know that. So it's not even fair to even try to predict, or at least I don't think it's fair to predict. But I do believe this. His two best players are going to give maximum effort to give an opportunity to make this work. Now, whether or not that's good enough, I don't know. But when you have veteran players, they don't have 10, 15 games to get in shape, round in shape, and all those things. And I think when you have guys that are playing in the summer like they're playing now, I think that gives them an opportunity to get off to a quick start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those guys will do that. And I think if, you know, they you know, get off to a nice early start, I think they will improve. And I think they can improve on their win. And this is LA. I think it will make for a good story. One that has an opportunity to lead off a lot of narratives for other shows.
Yeah. I don't know no other shows. It's the only one I know. One of the listeners actually sent me a picture of was it NBA Today? They said your boy Scott's on NBA Today.
Exactly.
Which I love, because it's not that ESPN Scott Perry is on our show. It's our Scott Perry is on ESPN.
I think the Lakers, I think the Lakers will I think they'll get off to an early start this year. I really do. Now, I don't know what that means in the playoffs, but I think they'll get off to an early start. I think they finished with eighth last year.
Yeah, seventh.
Yes. But let's drill down a little deeper on that. I'm gonna take a little different side to that. I agree that Anthony Davis and those guys and LeBron, but LeBron always, he keeps himself in pretty good shape throughout the year. But for Anthony Davis, being in this kind of condition through the summer and going into camp. But one thing that we've seen, and I don't wish this on anybody. But historically, coming out of the Olympics sometimes, especially with some of the bigger guys, you have injury concerns. So you're going to have to manage that, to me, early in the year through training camp with him to make sure that he's available to get off to a good start. Because, look, last year, he was terrific. I mean, it was his best year probably in, 5-6 seasons in terms of games available. Was it 74 games that he played?
Yeah.
Playing
in the summer. Will he be able to maintain that?
That's what I'm saying. Coming out of the Olympics, that will be interesting to see. We don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful for him and the Lakers team that he can, push right through and be totally healthy where he can play 82 games next year. That's something that I'll be watching. That was one of the reasons why I didn't pick them to make the greater jump. Now, they are one of those teams, I will say this, because we talked about this, early on in this Team USA, Anthony Davis and LeBron, before Kevin Durant put on a uniform here the other day, were the best two players, were playing the best or most consistent basketball to the Team USA. And with the Lakers, which I felt last year, even in the year before, it was just about getting to the playoffs. Because the regular season, with them aging, they were ripe to be beaten by a lot of teams. They to me, couldn't sustain that level of intensity to win 50, 55 games necessary to be one of the top six teams and, be assured, and avoid the play-in tournament. To me, I'm asking both of you, can they avoid making the play-in, being a play-in participant versus being a top six seed?
Can the Lakers be a top six seed?
Yeah, can the Lakers be a top six seed?
Well, let's say OKC, Minnesota, Dallas, those three are locks to be, all injuries and whatnot aside. They should be locks to be top three or four. And then you throw in the Grizzlies, who are back now. The Denver Nuggets. And that's five teams you've got right there. So that sixth spot, You're looking at Phoenix, who we spoke about. You're looking at Sacramento, who have added DeMar DeRozan. You're looking at the Houston Rockets, who you think will be a playoff team. You know, it's going to be tight.
You haven't mentioned New Orleans.
New Orleans Pelicans as well. Yeah. Zion's got a beard now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. He might finally be able to play.
Sacramento's going to
be better. Yeah. I wrestled with putting them as a team to improve because they missed the playoffs last year. I see them being able to get back into that playoff mix this year.
I think with the Lakers as well, I think they're less worried about being a play-in team than any of the other franchises are. Because first of all, they've been to the play-in a whole bunch of times. But also, they believe that in a seven-game series or even in a one-off or whatever it might be, they can beat anyone as long as it's not the Denver Nuggets.
Like, yeah, I agree. Well, that's what I thought. Picture, I thought that last year.
They're looking at it like, well, if we can face anyone except Denver, we'll be all right. But they drew Denver in the first round. I don't know if they make top six, though. I don't know. Yeah. With their roster, you're relying on a rookie to come in. And I think it's going to be a great rookie, but that's a lot of expectation because they've not really made any upgrades around the roster elsewhere. Meanwhile, the teams around them, with the exception of the Clippers, have all got better.
Well, yeah. No, it's going to be... the Western Conference... again, Houston and Memphis are coming from behind, if you will, you know, from where they were last year. They're going to rise up to standings. No question about that. The teams, to me, you know, like I said, what do the Clippers do this year? You know, they had a big loss in Paul George leaving. Golden State. Did Golden State add enough, in you guys' opinion, to avoid the play-in this year and be a top 16? Or are they a play-in participant?
I'm waiting for the Laurie Markkanen trade to be announced. That's what I'm waiting on, to see how that shakes things up.
I don't know that trade's going to happen, Mo.
Why not?
I don't guess. Look, they went out and signed a couple players. If you've been asked to give up all your young players and all your draft assets, you got to ask yourself, is Laurie Markkanen worth that?
Well, the time is ticking because...
That's why I know, because they're August 6th. No, that's what I'm saying. I just see them standing pat for what they've done.
Okay.
This
okay. Okay. Yeah, Jonathan, I don't see them as a top 16, but...
Here's what, you know, we're not there every day, but Jonathan Kuminga showed us signs last year that he could be a guy that averages 20 points a game in this league.
We'll see what Steve Kerr does, though. I think it's more on Steve Kerr than on Kuminga. Because that was the whole thing with him publicly saying he wants more minutes. It was the only way for him to get them. So I'm not a lot of faith in the Warriors organization, but I will never count them out, the same way you never count out the Miami Heat. but I think the West is going to be a bloodbath next year. There's not a lot separating it. It could be another one of those years, but only a few games separate each seed.
And let's not sleep on the East, because the East is going to be tougher.
I think we need to do a whole episode on that now, because the East is going to be a lot better than last year. So I think we should save that one. We should save that one.
We're going to save that one?
We're going to save that one. We're going to stick with the West today. BJ, any other shouts from you for the Western Conference?
No, other than the Sacramento Kings. I expect DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
You know, he's a pro. Okay, I think he'll add a little bit of moxie to this group.
Yes.
I think he will give them confidence. And some of those games that, you know, maybe they would have lost a year ago for whatever the reason may be. I think DeMar DeRozan, in particular in the half court set, I think he will be he'll be very good for them. So I expect the Sacramento Kings to be an improved team this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are one of the most improved teams, because this has the potential to go right if they can stay healthy. And I think they'll truly be a big three.
Do you know what I think?
And what I love
is the X factor, though. The development of Keegan Murray can be the X factor here for the Kings as well, which can separate them from being a playing team and being a top six team.
BJ's Iowa Hawkeye, fellow Hawkeye.
Yeah, alumnus. I love Keegan. I really do. However, do I think I'm not expecting Keegan to take that step, and suddenly DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, and Sabonis start deferring to Keegan? I don't expect that.
No. Now,
do I think Keegan Murray will get a lot of open shots because of DeMar DeRozan and be able to score and maybe have big scoring nights from time to time? Absolutely. Yeah. But I don't expect him to take that step to where all of a sudden
this move.
But could he take that step defensively into the point where you're looking at him in the same way people look at an OG Anunoby?
No. I don't see that with him. But I tell you what, though, this move puts him probably in the perfect role, though. Now he's the fourth guy offensively, you know, fourth option, if you will, who's capable of having big nights. But it takes pressure off of him being that third guy. Look, in Fox and DeMar DeRozan in particular, you got two really good closers and clutch time performers on the same team. That's what I really like about those two. If you need a bucket, and Fox was the top guy in the league, was that 2 years ago? When he won the award?
3 years ago, maybe.
Or three years ago?
Steph won two in a row, but yeah.
Okay, this top clutch time performer. Look, DeMar DeRozan was in those conversations each year because he makes big shots down the stretch in games. He gets to his spots in that mid-range. He draws fouls.
The Bulls can never win with a big lead. That helped him.
Exactly. So I like those two. And then, you know, obviously Sabonis.
No, I think Keegan Murray is an underrated defender.
Do you?
I think he's underrated as a defender. I've seen flashes from him on the defensive side where I look at him and I think if he does this all the time.
Well, he's going to have to be more consistent with that this year. That's for sure. Because again, you know, in DeMar, you're bringing DeMar DeRozan in for his scoring. Not for his defensive prowess. So now Keegan Murray in that start lineup is going to have to match up more than likely with the top wing players or the top fours defensively. So that evaluation mode that you have of him is going to be really put to the test this season.
Well, I think, ironically, one of the, you know, when I said flashes of him being good defensively was one of the matchups against Chicago where there were some possessions where I thought he did a really good job on DeMar DeRozan. They're going to be going back and forth in practice every day now. But only time's going to tell. Western Conference is going to be packed. So we're going to be breaking it down all the time. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back tomorrow. More of the Olympic basketball that needs to be discussed. And BJ, one order of business before we wrap this up. Your favorite player got traded today by the Phoenix Suns. David Roddy was sent to the Atlanta Hawks for EJ Liddell. Huge league shattering news. Yeah, the David power forward swap teams.
Yep. So, Mo, we're going to leave that to who won that trade, Mo?
Oh, the Hawks won that trade with ease. They got David Roddy on their team.
Okay.
That's my buddy.
AKA. AKA Mo.
Mo? Okay. Exactly.
Come on, dog. That's my bro right there. Anyway, appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you subscribe to the show and get your copy of NBA 2K25 from the link in our description. Help support us keep this going. Until next time, get buckets.